protest elite raids because I think they're a bad system.
I'll get you one. I'm going to try. As long as the raids don't break. That's the last big note, is that if these go off with as many hitches as Reggie Drago did, those pitchforks are going to get a lot sharper overnight, and those torches are going to be a lot brighter.
You're tuned into the GoCast podcast, your one-stop shop for updates, news, tips, and community in the world of Pokemon Go. Thank you for listening.
Upcoming changes to raid passes don't seem to remotely make sense.
Birds of a feather flocked together this past April Fowl's Day.
Hopefully, those pictures with the Easter Bunny this weekend are near an EX gym.
The Mystic Hero event has us feeling a little blue, but in a good way.
And more on this episode of GoCast. Hello and welcome to the GoCast podcast, episode 231. It's April 4th, yet another Tuesday evening. I'm your host, Chris, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle.
Hiya.
Hey, Kyle, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good.
Good?
Yeah, I'm doing minus all the rain we're having currently.
Oh, well, I like rain. We're actually in between two storms right now. We've planned this recording session perfectly so that my fragile power grid out here in the middle of nowhere won't mess us up again.
Yeah, a stiff breeze takes out Chris's internet. So
it's true. It's true for 2 or 3 days at a time. Don't forget. Yeah. Don't forget. Well, anyway, before we get started with the show proper here, shout out to a few patrons, new patrons, two of them, Luke and Joel, and shout out to the Ugly Rock for increasing their pledge. Thank you so much. They are now an elite tier patron, so we appreciate you very, very much. More about Patreon, patrons, and patronage at the end of the episode, so we hope you stick around. So last week, Kyle, or I suppose for this past week, we had set a few goals, as we are wont to do. Yours were, you had four of them. Mega progress. How'd that go?
I did it. Taken care of. Slowly.
Buddy progress.
No, I didn't do that.
You forgot all week to do even
one? Yeah, I mean, I should have, and apparently I didn't.
Oh.
I don't have an excuse for that one because I did play because I did my mega progress and all that. So yeah. It's just I neglected my Chandelure.
Oh, no. How's your Chandelure going to feel? What are they going to think?
The flame on its head probably is going to shrink just 2 feet. Bit.
Yeah. Oh, bummer. Well, you can fix that by giving them treats and spending time with them this week, I'm sure. Did you evolve and therefore register a Ribombee?
I did not.
Do you have enough candy?
No. I actually didn't get out to play at all today. I had some stuff going on, and then it absolutely poured, and I was like, no, I'm not going to go driving around like this.
Yeah, not like this.
And unlike Chris, I don't have 35 spawn points on my house that I can check every 30 minutes.
I think it's only like 12. Maybe it's 15. I don't know. Kind of depends on drift, right? Yes. I'm sorry you're not as pogo privileged as I am in this set. Hey, I gotta be more self-aware about that. Did you stock your inventory?
I did. Not as much as I want to, but it's getting there.
Nice. So you went out like once or twice and just spun a bunch of stops?
Yeah, and I was opening gifts. I was making sure to open gifts. I hit like two best buddies by accident today. So if you're listening, I apologize.
Oh no.
I think I'm pretty sure both of them were level 50 already. So if that's the case, the sting is a little less.
You got to be careful. Those are the ones that care the most sometimes.
And they're already best buddies. It's okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It's okay. You can unfriend me, I guess. I don't mean that.
Just so. All right. So 2 out of 4 is the summary there, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Mega progress for Medicham and Gardevoir for myself. I have been working on the two of them. I think I got 3 days worth of progress with the two of them. I've been a little bit distracted. Work has been very busy this week, which is a good thing, of course. 200 million total experience. While this is not the only goal to have been failed this week. This is probably the goal to have been failed the most. I think I only got like 200,000 experience and I needed like 2 million.
2 million?
So, yeah. I did not do well. I underperformed big time. But it's already on my list for this upcoming week, so we'll see. Cutie Fly and Rabombi, I did do both of those. I managed to catch like 4 or 5 around here throughout the day, so that was good. And get to step 3 of the Masterwork research. Now, in my head, this entire week, I thought that this was don't mess up the streak in step 3. So I thought that I had failed this. But no, I did get to step 3. I just then immediately failed my streak like 2 days in and was like, okay, that's fine. But
what's the streak on step 3?
It's spin Pokestops for, if you have a Vegas ticket, 14 days in a row and catch right. 5 Kecleon.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Okay.
The Kecleon is going to be rough. It's going to be a rough one for me. I feel like I'm going to be here in 3 weeks talking about how I haven't seen any Kecleon. That's 100%, how I feel.
100%. Yeah. I think I've seen one in like when I spin stops to and from work. I've seen one since Hoenn Tour. Maybe 2 or 3.
Oftentimes when I see them, I'm somewhere where like it's at a stop far away that I can't get to at that moment. And then by the time I can, it's gone. I'm like, okay, well, that's too bad. I'm not going to cancel my haircut to go catch a Kecleon. Although it is tempting.
You could do it. I
could.
No.
What's the craziest thing you've said no to or canceled in order to go do Pokemon?
I don't think it's that crazy. I've told the story before, but when the Kalos starters came out and Froakie was very hard to find in the wild, I was at work and I sat down on my 10, like 2 hours into my shift, and I opened my phone and there was a Froakie shadow nearby, like, I don't know, 4 minutes down the road, not even, just you know, around a snaking path. I looked at my manager who was there and I was like, I'll be right back.
Running down the street, apron in hand.
No. I got in the car and I had to drive. Oh, it was not close enough to walk.
Okay. I think we all kind of have a story like that. Mine is less about what I've canceled. And it's more about like I actively had COVID and should have been home resting. And I still went out and played 5 hours of Hoenn Tour Global in my car by myself. Like with my doors closed, windows up, I was masked and all that. But I should probably have been in bed, just for my own sake. That is 3 out of 4 for me and 2 out of 4 for you. If you had chipped back that half of the belt I did not send you last week, that would be great. Okay. Well, there's no reason for us to delay the inevitable any longer. Let's hop into the news. There's lots to talk about. Yo, what up? It's the news. Okay, so there's a number of things to talk about. I think we're going to lead with the most important thing that people are just constantly talking about right now, and for good reason. This news dropped, I believe, the day or the day before we released our last episode, but this news like dropped
Thursday, right?
Yeah. This news did drop prior to us recording, so this is our first time talking about it, really. And the news is update to Pokemon Go's remote raids. Trainers, we want to give you a heads up about changes coming to Pokemon Go's remote raid passes. These changes are designed to rebalance the game and ensure it's enjoyed by trainers for years to come. These changes will go into effect on April 6th at 11 a.m. PDT. So we have about a day and a half left at this time of recording before these changes go into effect. What are these changes? There's a few aspects to this, so we'll take them one at a time, as per the article. Pricing adjustments. The price of the Remote Raid Pass 3 pack will increase to 525 Pokecoins. It was, at one point in time, 250, then increased to 300, and now will be increased, finally, to 525, 75 short of doubling its already increased price. The price of single Remote Raid passes will increase to 195 Pokecoins. To me, that's the one that's the most egregious change. I feel like 175 would have been fine. 150 also seems more than fair to begin with. I don't know. But the last price change here is a premium Battle Pass 3-pack will be added to the shop for the price of 250 Pokecoins. Now, that's a good, that's a fine change. A good change in and of itself if it wasn't in the context of all these other changes. We've never had premium Battle Passes as a 3-pack that cheap before. So that's good.
I have thoughts about that, but please. I think we can wait till we're done.
Do you want to take this one section at a time or kind of talk about it holistically?
We can do it one section at a time. Well, no, we should do the whole thing because I don't want us to get like really negative on one thing and then have to wait to have anything potentially positive to say.
I think that's right.
Anything, we'll have to see.
I think that's right. While the price changes are a point in and of themselves, this really does kind of benefit from talking about it in its entirety. The next type of changes are remote raid participation limits. Trainers will be able to participate in a maximum of 5 remote raids per day. This harkens back to when that text string was pushed right after Hoenn tore Vegas that we all saw and kind of freaked out about and then was gone. This is now what that was being put in place for. And the maximum may change and increase for special events. So they might let you actually raid the way you want to raid at like GoFest or something like that. Who knows? Remote raid passes in general. Remote raid passes will be included in the pool of potential rewards for research breakthroughs. That's okay. Remote raid passes earned via research breakthroughs will still be subject to the existing inventory limit of 3 remote raid passes per trainer. If a trainer earns a remote raid pass from a research breakthrough while at the 3 remote raid pass limit, they will receive a premium battle pass instead. Now, the reason that this is even notable to begin with, for those of us that don't spend money on remote raid passes and know how to kind of, you know, work the system, if you were sitting at 2 remote raid passes and there's a soft cap 3, you could purchase a 3-pack and sit at the real hard cap of 5 in your inventory.
Yeah.
What this is saying is that if you're at 3, you can't go over to 4 when you get it from a research breakthrough. You cannot do that. It will turn into a regular...
Yeah.
Pass. Which, I mean, at first I was like, this seems like super unnecessary. The 5 over limit already exists, but it kind of makes sense because, you know, what are they supposed to do in the purchase scenario? Like refund you 2/3 or something and give you 1? Like, I don't know.
You know, logically, it makes sense, but just like, it doesn't make sense in execution.
Yeah.
But I'll give them the argument. Like I concede the fact that if you try to buy 1 remote raid pass and you have 3, you can't. So fair enough, I suppose.
Yeah, it just seems like a weird thing to sort of spell out, but I suppose it is necessary because that would stink if you went for it and you're like, oh, it's a regular pass. That's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last thing here is Candy XL. Trainers who participate in 5-star raids in person will earn more Candy XL than before. There's a lot of questions around this, mostly because it was worded incredibly vaguely about, like, is this just the increase that you already listed elsewhere, since we like to have redundant things listed? Or is this more in some weird way or some great way? And we actually have 2 pieces of information from Niantic that we're able to share with you. The XL candy changes were mostly focused around people participating in Master League so that you don't, it doesn't have to be as cost prohibitive for those that want to be competitive in Master League, but can't spend $50 on remote raids for the type of Pokemon that are meta and in 5-star raids that they can remote a lot of, right? And so what they're doing here, the logic here from their perspective is limit the amount of remote raids you can do and increase the amount of XL candy drops. It's like substantially. That's the sort of vibe that they're giving us, is that it's substantial for in-person raids. So in a vacuum, that small aspect is a positive. It's cool to get more XL candy in person. Although I feel like this kind of attacks a problem in a way that this won't actually solve. I don't understand, but that's what was shared with us. Secondly, mostly because a lot of the conversation online is spent around, like, the boycotts are like, you know, just uninstall them because location data is the big thing that Niantic is trying to sell. So it's not good enough to just not buy raid passes if you're going to boycott this. People are saying remove the app and apps from your phone that Niantic has access to. And they have basically just told us that they don't sell individual data. They don't. They just don't sell individual user or location data, and they don't plan to. The thing here is, the catch here is, and this is coming from somebody, and Kyle, hopefully, I'm hoping that you know more than I do, but this is coming from somebody that doesn't know a whole lot about this. They can still, like, tell general trends and stuff to companies, though. And I feel like that's more valuable, because selling individual user data is, like, illegal, right?
Yeah.
Like
the keyword, the keyword here was individualized player data. That you can't share. Nope.
Right.
Can't do that. And if you did, they'd be in a lot of trouble. But companies would love to know how many people visit certain areas over the course of like a week.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. That is great data without actually targeting or being specific to any one player.
Yeah. It's kind of strange. So on one hand, you can take, you know, some solace in the fact that your individualized data is not being sold. It shouldn't have been to begin with. But, you know, again, I also don't know, a second point in a row from them, I don't know if this really dispels the issue that was raised. So, all right, Kyle, floor is yours. Where do you want to start with this topic? What is really pulling you around by the nose here?
We can start with the raid pass prices, because that's the biggest sticking point for me personally. There's a lot of sticking points. Just simple. $195 is crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm going to say this right now as somebody who has spent plenty of money on Pokemon Go. I have never once thought twice about spending money for any particular reason. I've done it for one-star raids. And I'm like, I'll spend $1. Sure, why not? That's fun.
Yeah.
It's too much. I will never in a million years do a 1 or a 3-star raid with a remote raid pass at these prices now. Like, we knew they were going to go up. We knew that was a thing. But $195 and $525 for a 3-pack? $525 for a 3-pack means a free-to-play player needs to save 12 days of free coins for a 3-pack. That's a full raid boss rotation. That's crazy.
Yes, it is. Yeah, even playing the game the way that it's intended to play, you're right. If it's in the middle of a boss rotation that you want to do, you can't even earn a chance fast enough. You're right.
It's just like, you know, maybe $175 for a single pass. It's already expensive. And then when you buy them in a group, it's $150. More expensive, you know. People would be less upset. And then just the one sticking point for me, premium battle pass, 3-pack, 250 coins. Comes out to 83 coins a pass, 84 coins a pass because you have to round, but whatever. That we've never had a pass in a 3-pack, like Chris said. But what we used to do was we'd buy boxes that had 15 and other premium items in them.
Yep.
And I looked it up real quick because I remember seeing a Reddit post a while ago. Historic low for those boxes. We've only ever seen it once, so it's a small thing. 62 coins a pass.
Oh, wow.
And that's in a box that had more things in it, too. But even still, the average is more like 70 when those were a thing before we started having all the box changes.
Well, okay, so... So yes, but also this is the new price they're setting. So we can also expect, well, maybe we can expect that we would see a better deal in a box.
Maybe, yeah. But I think the history of the boxes has not been very good. But even still, the current boxes that we've had when they've been okay have been like 75-ish. So technically, they are already saving compared to this 3-bundle.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't expect that to change. But the real sticking was getting other premium items, star pieces, incubators, for those who still want them, lucky eggs, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think the pricing is really a failing point at this point in time. I feel like at this, when you're trying to affect the nature of raids, put the limit in or do the price increase.
Yes.
But both is like a bridge way too far.
Yeah, I agree completely. One or the other probably would have been enough to either make people decide what they were going to do going forward or just keep spending the money on the passes if you went that route, I suppose.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. Let's talk about the other thing though. Let's talk about the limit, this limit of five. What was rumored around before was six. That's what people were talking about.
Funny.
We did find out that that was kind of a fake number, kind of pulled out of nowhere.
Of course. We don't believe those.
It created this really interesting foothold of conversation, though, for people in the public. Like, is six a fair number or not? And some people were just like, I mean, it might be, but like, I don't view raids as an average over a week. I don't raid for 3 days and then two of those days, I do 12 or something like that. Like, that's just not how a normal person thinks about, oh, I have to hit my raid max for the day. Like, that's just not it.
That's the fact
that it's lower than that is mind blowing to me.
That's the real kicker for me, though, is raids are not a consistent thing. For, I would hazard a guess, 99% of the people who play this game, they do not do raids all week. They do raids on their day off. They do raids on the weekend, and maybe they do raids, you know, on the way home from work or when they get home in the event of a raid pass.
Right.
Remote pass, that is. I know for me, because of my normal work schedule, although it's been different last few months, I wouldn't do raids because the raids would be all done by the time I get off work. So, but when I did raids, I'd do 15 or 20 on a Saturday and kind of make up that gap from the week.
Right.
And this just hard limits that for me, and there's nothing I can do about it except raid more during the week, I suppose, which is usually not an option, or else I would have already done that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I have the same sort of feeling that even if you are doing up to five or more, there are some days where you're just going to raid more because of the nature of how a regular work week works for people. Like, that's just it. Our weeks are set up that on the weekends we do other things, or your off day you do other things. You get to do the stuff you want to enjoy. Like,
yeah.
Anyway,
here's a thought. I saw people talk about it, and it's kind of malicious.
Okay.
These numbers are high or low, you know, for the five limit, and we had rumors of six. Which unfounded. People say Niantic sets them at whatever point we're currently at so that they can walk it back going forward. So these numbers are really high. In 2 or 3 weeks, they can say daily limit is now six. Raids passes are now 175. People are happier than they would be if those were the announced numbers.
Right.
I don't get behind that thought process, but I've seen a lot of people talk about it.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you're posing that as a what if, or if we thought that was actually going to happen. Cause there's no way that's actually going to happen.
I could see it happening. I don't think that was the intention behind it.
No,
mostly. Because I don't think Niantic is that smart enough to want to do that. They've expressed in the past that they have their ideas, they have what they want to do, and they've only changed what they've wanted to do because of outcry or because of public opinion, rather than, you know, their ideas changing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think the only other thing to talk about with this before talk about it, I guess, our general opinions is that the raid pass is being added as a potential reward for research breakthroughs. We already talked about the limit thing and how that's kind of weird, but makes sense ultimately, I suppose. But being added to the reward pool for research breakthroughs when that was already kind of a feature that felt like it was stretched a little bit thin or out of place or has some sort of identity crisis. this just adds to that confusion, in my opinion.
Right.
I mean, it's nice to get it wherever, but I just, why research breakthroughs? I don't get it.
If it was guaranteed.
Yeah.
You'd have an argument here, I think. This is, to me, almost meaningless because you might not get it. You spent 7 days, you might not get it. Maybe you weren't paying attention and you had 3 remote raid passes. Or maybe it's a day you can't do a remote raid and you have to sit on it and then you lose your day and blah, 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 blah. It's a positive. It is technically an object positive.
Mm-hmm.
But it matters so little. It almost could have been left out and had people find out, like Niantic likes to do as well.
Yeah, I agree. This could have just been not even said, and I don't think it would have made an impact whatsoever to this entire reaction or anything. All right, so we've been relatively objective listing these things and looking at this from a perspective of like reasonability, logistics, and all that sort of stuff. And we don't normally take off the gloves and kind of talk about like our opinions about something like this without trying to keep it reined in to some degree, but I just don't want to do that this time. I really want to just kind of share my opinions, and I hope that you also want to share your opinions fully about this, Kyle. I got to say, the stop distance change, which is very similar to this in a lot of ways, especially with a new hashtag Heroes Niantic going around right now, which everybody almost universally seems to be participating in. The difference for me from that first one was that their response to that seemed unapologetic at first and turned apologetic. And to me, this does not feel like it's going to be going that way. But some of the same issues come up, like accessibility and not even from a physical perspective. Although that is one of the tenets, it's also a monetary thing. The argument that the remote raid limit makes it so that people will not be locked out of Master League, and then to increase the price of those passes for people that would need to remote raid in order to do that because they don't have raids around, right?
Mm-hmm.
It cancels each other out in my brain. Doesn't make sense.
That stood out so much to me as cherry picking an argument to then address. There are 3 types of raiders, we're going to say.
Okay.
I think for simplicity's sake. You're raiding for a shiny, you're raiding for a hundo, and you're raiding for candy. Those are the 3 kinds. The candy could be to get to level 38 to have a counter, or it could be to get to level 50 and get all your XLs. Doesn't matter. That's what you're doing. The ones who are raiding for the candy are generally going to do it anyways. Like, that is their one goal. And the bigger limit is not even the price. It's how many raids they can do. Because if somebody wants a raid at level 50 in the time frame, they're a dolphin at minimum and a whale at, worst. So they're spending already.
Right.
It seems like such a strange argument to say that this will make it better when I'm pretty confident. I don't have any numbers behind this. Most people are raiding for shinies, hundos, and regular candy. The XL is the bonus that a very small portion of the community actually need, especially in terms of Master League.
Right. And if they really wanted to adjust that, why not make the walking distance not 20 kilometers for my Dialga and make it 10? And then it's 5 when it's excited. Like, come on.
And like, let's face it. More candy XL in person.
Mm-hmm.
If you use a Mega 3 Pokemon of the appropriate type for candy, you average, I'm going to say 4.5 candy a raid. Because you can't, it's +1 for the Mega, sometimes +2, and then sometimes +1 on top of the 3 that you get by default. So I think you can get a maximum of 7 if you get like the highest rolls on everything. But you're more likely to get 4 or 5. 66 raids to get a level 50. They could add 2 more candy guaranteed to every raid, and it would still take 45 raids to get a level 50.
Oh man. Okay. Yeah.
That and you, everyone knows there's no way they're doubling it. Three, even at three more, you're still looking at like, 37 raids, 34 raids, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is not more approachable for most people.
No, no, it's not. It just moves that stressor somewhere else while imposing limitations.
Yeah.
So this is all true. And we can talk about the price increase and how unfair that is and how it punishes people that don't make a lot of money. Free-to-play players have to play longer with their systems in order to earn more coins to take part in their systems, et cetera, et cetera. But the part that is really important for people like Kyle and I, and for anybody else who played this game throughout the pandemic era, right, is that this kneecaps online communities in a huge, huge way. A huge way. Because there are a lot of people that work non-traditional 9-to-5s that when they're done, their time to play is during times that raids aren't around. And those people join global communities. Our community for the podcast, our Discord, is a global community. We have trainers from all over the place. Mm-hmm. And people are raiding 24/7 in that server. You know, it slows down at periods for sure. But when there's interest, it's going. And people are able to hop in, do a few raids, and hop out. And there are some people, Arceus blessed them, that want to raid all the time. The whale that Kyle was mentioning before, that type of person will do 50 raids in a day because it's their social connective activity too. They like helping people. They like participating in those raids. Those people can no longer help people that need help because they literally cannot do that many raids anymore. So this will happen, and this will generate two things. They'll either have people fight over those raids so that people can actually pull off some of these bosses that require five or six people to raid sometimes. That you'll have to fight for that to have enough people in order to take it down. Or people will be less willing to spend their remote raid passes they once were before. Either outcome or both outcomes result in less people raiding and less successful raids.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just don't get it. It just seems like it's really pulling the rug out from underneath itself. But
that's the biggest thing for me personally. Like all of these are negatives. I don't like any of them. That's just, you know, plain and simple.
Right.
But before the pandemic, I raided with my local community a little bit. I generally did a handful of raids each boss rotation. Didn't care too much about shinies. And I got to know a couple of people in my community. And that was it. I didn't interact with them that much. We had a Discord for the community. I responded, showed up to the gym. We did the raid. I said hi and I left. That's what happened. And then, you know, I see their name on a lure during community and I'm like, oh, they're here. Moving on. I have connected and I know so many people online now because of this, through the podcast and the community that we've personally cultivated. There's so many people who's like, oh, I know that they're going to want to come do a raid with me. Let's message them as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, even when you're in person, when Chris and I are at a community day and we're walking and we're like, oh, let's do this raid. Oh, we only have four people here. Oh, well, I bet you if you invite modders, he's going to accept that raid. You know he is. And then, you know, you guys talk later on. This is the thing, especially somebody who grew up on the internet, who grew up on multiplayer games, on MMOs and other stuff. Online interactions are real social interactions.
They are.
There are a lot of people out there who don't believe that. And I think that's a problem.
I know. I think we both grew up with a lot of them around us, because this is why this is so important to us. Yeah. Because like, I could not stand people invalidating the true friends that I had made online.
Yeah.
How dare you? Like, okay, well, how about the people you only talk to when you're at work? Are they not your friends? Of course they are too. Like, you can tell the difference, you know? Yeah.
And so basically one of the pillars for Niantic is social interaction. That might not be the exact wording, but that's the meaning of the spirit of the words. Online interaction is social interaction. rating remotely is social interaction. And yes, there are raid communities, there are raid apps where it becomes impersonal. But the people doing that are because they don't have another choice. And they probably wouldn't have another choice without remote raiding. Those people on those apps would not be going to do an in-person raid. It's kind of like the argument against piracy. Piracy is not necessarily lost sales because those people wouldn't have bought it in the first place. And you can never prove otherwise in either one of these scenarios.
Right. I mean, you kind of touched on it, though. Like, when we're in person at an event doing stuff and, like, we want to invite somebody, that's for sure. And this is not all to say that in-person events aren't great. I would love to be more motivated to go out and do in-person raids and things like that. And I'm not going to play a community day from home. I'm still going to be going out for that. You know, like, it's not like every single aspect of this game has been remotified. And so now this needs to be rectified one thing at a time. It doesn't. Remote raids solved the problem that the game had before remote raids were in the game. And it supports more raids and more connectivity globally. While I think that it's great that we should be motivated to get outside and things like that and play in person together, that's all fantastic stuff. I love it. I'm an advocate for those sorts of things. It should not be at the cost of our online communities, our habits, and our relationships.
Agreed. And I think there's, of course, the argument of don't make remote raids worse. Just make in-person raids better. And while I believe that, their stance on giving extra XL candy to compensate for level 50 or for people who want their Pokemon level 50 kind of shows why that's not what they're going to do, or why that's not what anything they would want to do ever. Because no matter how lucrative you make an in-person experience, if they believe the only thing people are going for is Candy XL, nothing they can do would make an in-person experience more lucrative than current remote raiding. Does that make sense to you? Right now, if you're part of a global community who cares about getting level 50 and you spend money, you can get that level 50 in one day.
Yeah.
2 days if you have to take it slow. Nothing you can do will make in-person raids compete with that.
Well,
and that is an unfortunate truth and problem of the scenario.
You can get to level 40 in a day, but there's some time-gated stuff on the way to 50.
No, I don't mean for players. I mean the Pokemon.
Oh,
level
okay.
up the Pokemon.
Gotcha.
They want Lugia at level 50. They will get Lugia to level 50 before this goes into effect.
Yes.
As of the time of recording it, of course.
Yes.
And so if that's the stance they're taking on why people are doing raids, it makes sense why they would want to lower the interaction of remote raids.
I suppose so. But this is the community that popped up because they didn't have interaction or community building tools internally or otherwise. Campfire is supposed to fix this problem, but two problems with it. One, it's not rolled out globally yet. It's still invite only. So why are you this is repealing without replacing. It's the same problem that we've talked about in American politics for like 6-7 years. But in addition to that, like there is a group finder thing that was sort of beta test on some people that had Campfire, and I was one of them. I popped into like two of those. And it's just as impersonal.
Yeah,
it's just as impersonal as everything else.
Which is probably why it's not released. But so here's the thing. Campfire is not the solution. We've used it. Both Chris and I have used it. We know a lot of people actually who have used it. It is a good idea on paper. It is too late. But it would still be a lot better if you made this change and Campfire was available to everybody.
Yes.
Because you can at least give the argument that it's there.
Agreed. But it just isn't. It just isn't. It feels like all these things are happening sort of out of order and with a level of severity that is kind of unearned. Yeah. So we're going to kind of see how this shakes out. I mean, we've thrown our hat in the ring with the hashtag Here Ask Niantic because, of course, our opinion is that this is not a great change for a lot of reasons. And while there are one or two beneficial things to come out of this, ultimately, the impact that this will likely have on online communities will be such that it'll be kind of catastrophic in that particular category, for sure. The counter argument is, of course, let's get back outside. This is the core root of this game and all that sort of stuff. We're not saying that that's the wrong way to play. We're just saying this is the wrong way to go about it.
And my just final thing, absolutely going out to play. It's the best way to play Pokemon Go. It's not a question. People who are exclusively remote raiding, if those are the problem, are not going to go out and play. Mm-hmm. They already would do that if they wanted to, because the game is still fun in that regard. And if they don't like the joy that the game brings in its current state, I don't know what we're doing. Like,
yeah.
You're not appealing to them by making this change. You're just hurting the other people who enjoy all aspects.
Yep. And finally, I just want to say before we move on to the next piece of news, if you're a rural player and you're listening, I'm so sorry. Very, very sorry. I know this is going to hit you in a big way too for raiding, accessibility, all that sort of stuff. Just know that we're in your corner. And when we get the chance to raise our voices and share our opinions, we do.
So yeah, it goes without saying, I think, but it's worth repeating. Every single content creator out there, just about, that we know, mm-hmm. has shared opinions on this. Before this happened, everybody has said, and everybody has given good alternative suggestions to look at.
Yep.
And we are still where we are.
That being said, there are a lot of people at Niantic that feel the same way that you and I do.
Yes, it is not an individual or developer choice.
It's not.
It is very clearly a collective choice of higher up. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we have said this before. Bears repeating, especially now with the way things are on social media right now. Don't attack individuals. You really have no idea what the opinions of Niantic employees are personally. It might be yours. You might be trying to attack somebody that agrees with you. Don't do that. This poisons the well for the rest of us. Do not do this. Do not attack people. It's never okay. Attack the official Pokemon Go app handle if you're going to yell at somebody like that, because that's a corporate entity. That's not an individual. So that makes sense to me. I mean, you know, hateful speech in any scenario is never, it's never acceptable. But if you're going to be a little mean about it, like this change is really dumb or something like that, and use harsher language than that, individuals do not deserve that sort of abuse. Don't do that. That being said, make sure your opinion is heard and tweet at Niantic and Pokemon Go app and all that good stuff. But make sure you do it in a way that is constructive and not destructive. It doesn't get you banned from Twitter or something. I don't know.
Can you still get banned from Twitter?
I think so. I'm not so sure the sort of stuff I see on there nowadays. It's
as long
it's
as you don't upset Elon.
That's right. That's right. Yep. Geez, what a world we live in. Okay, so let's put that to bed for now, although I have a feeling it's going to be a topic of conversation for a while. So this past weekend, we got a surprise event. It was an April Fool's Day event, April Fowl's Day, Pidgey Pandemonium. And it's behind us, so we're not going to spend too much time on it. But suffice to say, Pidgey were spawning en masse in the wild from 1 to 7 p.m. Local time. And there was a special research to complete. It was two pages, but really one page of tasks and then one page of rewards. It was very easy to do the research. Most people got it done in like 15 minutes, even if they weren't rushing. And it was fine. It was cute. It was all right. Yeah. Any, yeah. Just, any big just, thoughts, Kyle? I mean,
your
small thoughts? Any thoughts?
I wish I had more opportunity to play during it, especially because now this other event we have is got an evolution bonus.
Oh, true.
And I'm one of those psychopaths who actually kind of like mass evolving. So,
yeah.
Hey, Niantic, can we get another Pokemon that costs 12 candy that is actually common again?
It'll like, cost 12 candy, but it'll cost 500 Poke coins to evolve as well.
No, no, that's only if EA buys out. Oh,
okay. Sorry, it'll cost a regular raid pass. All right, so there was that. It was cool. It was cute. It was fun. Everybody loves Pidgey. If you don't like Pidgey, get out. There's the door. Reggie Alecki Elite Raids. This is just kind of a reminder, but the announcement came out again. Reggie Alecki will be in raids this Sunday, April 9th from 11 a.m., 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. local time. This is also going to be, for those of us that don't know, it's going to be Easter Sunday.
Yeah, it's Easter Sunday.
And there is some indication that this day was listed when we got our initial listing of days, dates, and events for the 8th and was then moved to the 9th and nobody told us.
Not what happened.
Good. I'm glad you know what happened then.
What actually happened? The post itself said the 9th, but the Twitter announcement said the 8th.
Oh, my God!
Someone didn't check the copies when it was posted. So as far as can find, it's always said the 9th on the official PokemonGoLive.com/news page.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make it any better in any scenario, in my opinion, but still.
I'm just happy that you knew the deets, because I didn't. I just saw the sentiment, you know?
I saw people upset, and I'm like, I got to read that Reddit thread.
Yeah, no. So this is going to be on Easter Sunday. It's going to be weird. It's going to be wild. It's going to be strange. And it's certainly going to be ill-advised.
Yeah, I mean, there's only a couple of things to say. One is, why are we doing things on a holiday again? Why?
Yep.
And then the other argument is going to be not everybody celebrates Easter, which is a fair argument.
Yeah.
They'll give you that. And two, it has three times, so you can pick the time that fits for you. In case you don't know, most people, Easter takes up most of the day.
It does.
You go to the morning mass. You got to do the afternoon stuff with the family. Then you do your Easter egg hunts. And then suddenly it's 8 o'clock and you got to go home.
That's right. And you're like, what am I going to do with these eggs? The paint isn't dry yet. You know, and you're full up on ham or whatever people do nowadays. Yeah.
So like this.
So you're giving me flashbacks right now, man. Okay. So fair point that not everybody celebrates Easter. But counterpoint to the counterpoint, you got to raid with people. Those people might celebrate Easter even if you don't.
Yeah. And then
so,
counterpoint to the counterpoint as well. It could have just been Saturday.
It could have been Saturday.
It could have just been Saturday. Just, been Saturday. I get it. You want to alternate the days and give stuff on the Sunday. We've talked about that. That's fine. Just not like this.
Not like this.
Not like this.
Yeah. And also counterpoint to your counterpoint, the other one, that you have three opportunities to get it. If you're in a town that only has like five gyms and they all pop 11, you really only have one time slot. And that does happen.
100%. Another problem with elite raids in general.
People are saying that it should just be, all of them should be 11. Egg goes away after 30 minutes and the encounter is done after it hatches. An hour passes, 2 p.m. egg. Done, gone.
I don't.
Half hour passes, but, 5 p.m. egg. You know?
I mean, yes, I agree. But it goes against the idea Niantic wants with these elite raids. I don't agree with that idea. But what they're trying to, that's what they're focused on. And we've talked about it. That's what they want to do. That's what they're going to do.
So we're going to see.
Yeah. Like this doesn't affect me at all. I'm not celebrating Easter this year. My family doesn't really celebrate it anymore. The little kids, the people with the little kids do. But I'm also working, you know, 2 to 10:30. So my only time slot would be 11. And I'm also not doing it because I protest elite raids because I think they're a bad system.
I'll get you one. As long as the raids don't break. That's the last big note, is that if these go off, with as many hitches as Reggie Drago did. Those pitchforks are going to get a lot sharper overnight, and those torches are going to be a lot brighter. Like, my word. But I have some doubts about my ability to get these raids done on Sunday, even though I plan to do it. We're going to do some stuff with my grandparents. You know, and go visit them and stuff like that. They're in a home. So that's what you got to do. And it's fun. It's great to see them. But that basically means I really only have access to 5 p.m. raids. And those are generally the least popular, at least around here. So we will see. But anyway, the last big thing here is something that made my day when we heard the news. The Mystic Hero event. We were joking about what it could have been, and Kyle basically got it right in a way that I would have never expected. But are you ready to be a hero? Blanche wouldn't think to ask others for help, but the Team Mystic leader could use some support. Get ready to enjoy an all-new event focused on research tasks and learning more about Pokemon evolution, a Mystic Hero. When is this? Thursday, April 13th at 10 a.m. to Monday, April 17th at 8 p.m. local time. So it's basically just an extended weekend period. Event bonuses include 2x XP for evolving Pokemon, which is what Kyle was hinting at, had he known, with Pidgey Day. All lure modules activated, the event will last for 3 hours, and 2 guaranteed candy XL for evolving Pokemon. Oh, there's another evolution bonus.
That's new.
That's a new bonus, yes.
Think we've ever seen XL guarantee for evolving, let alone two. That's cool.
That is pretty cool. It's essentially just like a better transfer rate.
Yeah. Yes, except it costs candy to evolve. So it's like,
that's what I'm saying.
You're basically supplementing the conversion.
Yes, for the evolution
cost. So like 100 to 1, you're supplementing it, and then you get to transfer it. So
yeah,
it's good. So like, it's positive.
So if you're gonna change regular candy into candy XL, it's 100. For one, like you just said, right? So then, let's just say if you're looking to get 2XL for your Charmander, you evolve a Charmander for 25. That's 2XL.
Yep.
That's 2 for 25. That's the deal.
That's great. That's fantastic. If you have the candy.
It's cool. Yeah.
It's probably the best bonus they've done since the season of guaranteed XL from trading bonus.
Yeah, man. Man, oh man. So that's cool. I didn't realize how lucrative that could have been until we just talked about it now. Nice. Special research story, a Mystic Hero. Special research featuring the leader of Team Mystic, Blanche, will be available. Trainers who complete the research will be rewarded with an encounter with Lapras wearing a Blanche-themed accessory. This is the only way to encounter Lapras wearing a Blanche-themed accessory for this season. Also, it's shiny eligible.
Oh my god.
This accessory is a little lackluster, but it's fine.
But it's unique.
It is unique. It's not a 5-shaped balloon, though, so miss me with that.
Not a 5-shaped balloon.
Nothing will ever be a 5-shaped balloon besides 5-shaped balloon. Field research task encounters. Tasks focused on evolving and catching Pokemon will be available, and trainers can earn Stardust and evolution items as rewards for completing these field research tasks. There's also timed research that will reward a magnetic lure. It's going to be available throughout the event. And then
why?
Eats me. It's just
a theme. Just the barest hint of a thread running through things. Why magnetic? Not like rainy. I don't know.
I have no idea. I have no clue. What a great question. Reminder, seasonal special research and everyday hero. Free special research will be available for trainers throughout season 10. Spend some time helping out Professor Willow to see what surprises you can discover. And this will be available to claim until the end of season 10, which ends on June 1st, 2023 at 10 a.m. local time. You should already be aware of this research or have probably completed what you can so far. I think it came out 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago was the first step.
3 weeks ago?
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, sounds right.
Was the first step. And currently we're waiting for Willow to come back. So, step 4 or something like that. This is a new type of event focused around a team and things like that. And I know it was sort of a joke, Kyle, when you mentioned what it could have been last week.
Yeah.
But is this sort of meeting what you pseudo expected?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think too much about what it would include, but I appreciate that it is all very focused on what they want it to be.
Yeah.
Which is evolution. That's good. It's fine. I think 2x evolution is great. Does it overlap with an evolution spotlight hour? I don't think so. I think that week is the Stardust one, but still.
I think that is the Stardust one, yeah.
And the unique bonus for the Candy XL from evolving is cool.
Yeah, it that is, alone is good.
Yeah, it is a little bit prohibitive for newer players. Don't have the candy necessarily for the candy base, I should say, for doing stuff with that bonus. But that's kind of just the nature of Candy XL, unfortunately.
Well, hopefully now we've all got kind of like a week to sort of gather some stuff to get ready for it.
Yeah, but this is going to make people be like, well, now I can never evolve anything ever again because they may do this event like they did for the increased transfer chance. We got that for Shinx Day. Yeah. And then people were like, I'm never transferring anything ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, look, I'm sorry, but that's definitely a you problem. That one's on you. No one said it was coming back anytime soon.
True. But we all kind of do weird stuff like that. Like,
That's okay. You're totally welcome to do it. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it if that's the way you want to be efficient. But you can't be upset when it doesn't come back.
Like, I can't believe they let me draw my own conclusion about this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's exciting. It's always cool to see a new type of event enter the ring. And this does necessitate both an Instinct and Valor event as well. If they don't, it'll be strange. So
that's cool. Valor for Stardust and Instinct for catching.
Eggs. He's big on breeding. No.
I don't think so. Because if that's the case, then you do raids for Valor and eggs for Instinct. And I don't think that lines up as nicely with what they've started here with Mystic.
I guess we'll have to see. I just know that Spark is about like buddies and eggs,
but that's you can tie it in with catching because you're catching more buddies versus evolving, which is ones you already have.
Look at all these buddies in my yard. That's how I feel about wild animals.
And Stardust is like, look at how much Pokemon I've grinded.
Uh-huh. Yeah, pretty much. It's essentially that. I saw a screenshot today of somebody that had like over 60 million Stardust. Now,
so I saw that.
Imagine. Anyway. All right. That's it for the news. And we had such a robust news section that ahead of time, Kyle and I decided that we're not going to be doing a gear up this week. Which means that we're going to go into Pokalore, but not without taking a short break first. See you on the other side. And this week for Pokalore, we're going to be covering Regieleki, the Electron Pokemon. Regieleki. Okay, so Regidrago and Regieleki are like probably the two coolest Regis. The other three are fine. I think we just saw them so much that they've just been poisoned for us for the rest of our lives. Regieleki is an electric golem-like Pokemon made mostly of electric energy generated by a single organ. I think like a body organ, not like a piano organ.
A piano deep inside its head there.
That would be so sick, actually.
Where's the piano Pokemon? Let's go.
We do need that.
Where's the musical like offshoot of Pokemon?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of singing Pokemon. We don't have like a lot of
There's no instruments now that I'm thinking about that, right?
You're right. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to continue. It's just the natural progression, I feel like, of the object as a Pokemon.
Yeah, well, Regieleki's got a whole organ in him, so, you know, there you go. It has a round yellow body with three spikes on top of its head and a pattern of 7 pink dots on its face that resembles the letter X. Regieleki's arms are shaped like lightning and usually appear bunched together, while its legs are tiny and resemble both lightning bolts and an electrical plug. Its body can grow bright yellow when attacking Regieleki, has 5 blue rings on its body, with 2 on the base of its arms acting as its shoulders, and the other 3 located at the bottom connecting to its legs. These rings are insulated and cannot conduct electricity, and are believed to have been put on it by ancient people who were tormented by it in order to restrain its powers. According to legend, Regieleki was created by Regigigas using pure electric energy. Who would have guessed?
Wait, but where's the organ coming from?
Honestly, Regigigas is crafty. Just throw the organ in there. That's fine. Yeah. Maybe an organ and an organist just got caught up in the mess of creation. Who knows? Regieleki absorbs electrons in order to stay alive, and it is said to have the greatest power of any electric-type Pokemon, being powerful enough to generate all of Galar's electricity. It is said that if the rings on its body were to be removed, Regieleki would be able to unleash its latent powers. Regieleki is the only Pokemon capable of learning the move Thunder Cage. It is also the only known Pokemon that can have Transistor as an ability.
Which is crazy strong now that I've read it.
I read Thunder Cage, by the way, as Thunderdome every time.
Not even close.
No, not even close. What does Transistor do?
Straight 50% increase in electric type damage.
Oh my word. Just okay. Straight. My gosh. Okay. That would make sense with why it's so strong then. Max CP 40, 2803. And at 50, you're looking at 3169. 190 stamina, 125 defense, and 250 attack.
Ooh.
High attack, low defense, glass cannon. Best moveset, Thundershock or Lock On if it turns out that energy generation is better with Zap Cannon and Thunder. Your other option for a charge move is Hyper Beam.
Ouch.
And that's a no. So unless some moves are added or changed or whatever before this comes out on this blessed Easter Sunday.
Not likely.
Who knows? Yeah. So.
So I have 2 thoughts. One. Okay.
All right.
About the description, because it always had to say something. 7 pink dots on its face that resemble the letter X caught my attention. In no way do the dots on Regieleki's face resemble an X.
No. What do they resemble?
It looks like a dog bone, I guess, for simplicity's sake.
How did she get to such an abstract shape from 7 dots?
Go look at it.
Looks like.
Poseidon's looks like a dog tail.
Okay, I'll look at it.
No, it's. I'm, we're gonna wait here for a second. I'm gonna finish my thought. I thought it was very strange to describe it as a letter.
Oh, I see exactly what you're talking about it now. Does, when you said looks, dog bone.
It looks nothing like the letter X.
No, it looks like an X like that's really long.
But the other,
like a dog bone.
The other descriptions on Bulbapedia for the other Regis do describe their eyes as letters, except for Registeel, which has like the circular design, and I don't know why they don't describe it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, at least they're consistent. Except Regice has a plus as its shape.
Mm-hmm.
A plus turned on its side is an X, which looks nothing like what Regieleki's face looks like.
That's true. It looks more, if I had to say, I think it looks more like a dog bone.
Just okay. That's my nitpick for the writing, because it's, yeah.
This is where watching the video version of this, by the way, comes in handy, because you best believe Regieleki's face is real big on screen right now.
my last takeaway is it's not good, and it's kind of a shame because I do love the Pokemon.
Oh,
it's made of absolute tissue paper though, and it's just it's got to compete with Raikou and Electivire and even Magnezone and Zekrom. Like, it's a bad day to be an electric type in Pokemon Go, and it's also made of tissue paper for PvP, so doesn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah, this is in Pokemon Go, the best defense is a good offense argument doesn't really work.
No, it's very select scenarios.
Yeah.
Very select scenarios.
That being said, Shadow Regieleki, you might get two shot, but you'll do like 500 damage.
Yeah, yeah. You might, no, because you only have lock on. You're not even going to probably get to that zap cannon in time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, you're probably right. You're probably right. But yeah, so that's it. That's Regieleki. That's who we're talking about this week for Pokelore. And that means that we're due for Pokepoll.
Last week's Pokepoll we had, which shadow Pokemon do you find yourself using frequently and for what purpose? First response in the form of an email from Paul BD. And they said, hey, y'all, for the Pokepoll about which shadow Pokemon I use the most, I have three, technically four, contenders. First would be my shadow Hundo Drapion named Dr. Zed that I use as a switch in Ultra League. Next would be my only shadow shiny, my shadow shiny Venomoth named Duster for nice. Gym defending. Last would be my two shadow Mewtwo's for raiding named Angel Eyes and Blondie. Hope you enjoyed the long email. Hundo vibes. All right.
All yep. Right. Yep. Those are great, great candidates.
Next one's from Drew, and they said, also in the form of an email, Metagross is my favorite Pokemon, and I have spent the last 2 years building up my Shadow Metagross squad for battle, including my most prized possession, a Hundo Shadow Metagross I caught last month. Oh my gosh, congratulations. Last month, after catching every Beldum I see, walking various Metagross more than 5,000 kilometers.
Oh my word.
And distance training for XL candy, I finally had enough XL to build a full team of six Shadow Metagross to level 50. They will be extensively used against every Rock, Ice, and Fairy raid, not to mention a good majority of Rocket and Gym battles. Holy cow. Holy cow. That's over 5,000
kilometers. 5,000 kilometers. That's a regular Glareon Stunfisk if I ever saw one.
Now, see, this is where we get our Community Day Classic announcement next week, and it's going to be Beldum.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're going to be like complete research tasks for encounters with Shadow Beldum.
Drew bled so that everybody else could get their XL candy for their Metagross army that's waiting.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you.
That's awesome, though. It's good. And 100% Shadow Metagross is quite the trophy.
Oh, yeah. Very jealous. Very jealous.
Next response is from Noel, and they said, Shadow Kanto Vulpix with Weather Ball and Body Slam. Triple flexing Little Cup. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's a real spammy. It's real spammy. What is that? Does that have Ember probably for a fast move?
Yeah, it can. Or Tackle.
It's a lot of charge moves being fired off, hopefully.
Vulpix is pretty decent. Yeah.
Oh, Little Cup, though. Oh, my God.
I love Little Cup, dude. Get out of here.
Okay. Next response from Ryan. They said, Shadow Mewtwo / Shadow Alolan Marowak, purely because they look cool. But yo, I was thinking about which mons they could make Shadow, and Eevee would be the coolest, in my opinion. Though I highly doubt they would do that. No, they'll do it. At some point, they'll do it.
Do you think they'll do a Shadow Pikachu as well?
No.
So, why do you say that?
I think, first, you have to have Granddaddy Pokemon approve everything. And I think that Pikachu is too protected.
I think Eevee's on the same tier, though.
I think there's more argument to be had because it's not as much of the face. But we'll have to see how they treat Pikachu in the new anime, because it's now a buddy Pokemon to somebody that's not Ash. So I guess kind of see how they treat it as not being the direct face anymore. I think Eevee is more likely than Pikachu as a shadow Pokemon.
I'm kind of hoping that the two new protagonists just also get Pikachus.
Oh my God. We have like and they three. Each have a different tuft of hair to distinguish it's, them.
Right. Well, only one needs to have a tuft of hair because one's already got a captain's hat on.
No, that's right.
Okay, the other enough. One could just be, you know, whatever.
Oh my gosh. Our last response is from Night Flash, and they said, I use Shadow Rattata often for purification.
What an honest answer. I love it.
Oh, man. 1,000 Stardust just down the drain.
Yeah, but that's as cheap as it gets, so good for you.
I know.
Good for you. Just because it's on sale doesn't mean you have to buy it.
All right. So for this week's Poke Poll, we have, how many remote raids would you do on a daily basis before the daily limit was introduced? So I think I've already kind of answered it, but I'll reiterate for the timing of the show. On a daily basis, less than one. On a weekly basis, it goes up. But I almost have never done 5 raids a day outside of very special circumstances. I have done like 20 to 100 raids in one day, though.
Yep. Yep. Exu? I don't know her. Yeah, so my answer was also discussed earlier, but I suppose if I had to be concise about it, my average raids were like, you know, 2 to 4 on a daily basis. But on days that there's an event or it's a weekend, like I would go ham. Raid hours, too. Sometimes I would stay up really late and try to get into raid hours from other time zones when it was something I really cared about. So on, you know, a Wednesday or an early Wednesday morning, I would be doing, you know, 10, 20 raids at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, dear listener, it does really add up. And I think we'll feel this 5-pass limit in some interesting ways. But we'd love to hear from you, dear listener. So if you have an answer to this week's Poke Poll question, which was, one more time, how many remote raids would you do on a daily basis before the daily limit was introduced? We'd love to hear from you. Please answer when we post it on Twitter. You can send us an email to mail@gocastpodcast.com. You can send us a voicemail by calling 262-586-7717. You can answer the question if you're using the Spotify app. There's a way to answer it on there. Just navigate to the episode and click around the tabs. You'll see it. And also, if you'd like to leave a comment on YouTube, you can do so as well. Oh, and lastly, for our patrons, we have an entire channel dedicated to Pokeball questions, and we post it in there when we publish the episode. So any of those ways are viable, great ways to submit an answer. Looking forward to it. But speaking of emails, voicemails, and the like, Kyle, would you do me the honors?
It's time for emails.
Oh, that's right. And 0 voicemails. But just this week. Our first email this week is from Drew 2. It said, yo, what up, Chris? It's Drew 2. Kyle, hiya.
Hiya.
First off, congrats on getting your own show and moving out from under the PvP corner umbrella. I think you guys are really going places. This is how we feel, legitimately. Don't make jokes about it. This is a very real feeling. I'm writing this fresh off the news that Niantic is nuking remote raids. Oh, I love how this email is starting already.
Oh, no.
And I really feel like it's time to get real about how and why Niantic makes decisions. For so long, they have made choices about gameplay that seem illogical and against the player base's wishes, all under the reasoning that they want us to get out and exercise or be with the community. There have been multiple examples, whether it was taking away 6-hour community days, reducing spin distance, limiting static incense, and now nerfing remote raids. Often, these decisions end up hurting players who don't have a large community or aren't able to access many of the in-person features of the game due to disability, weather, transportation restrictions, or simply living in a rural area. That was very well written. Well done.
Yep.
Can we please all stop pretending that Niantic as a company wants us to be outside with community because it's central to their core values and not because they make more money selling our location data compared to selling items in the store? Okay. Looks like we're stepping through the conversation we had before. Yeah. Even if Niantic never admits it, I think it's healthier for us to view and talk about their decisions viewed through this perspective because their choices for how they want us to play the game start to make sense, even if it's not something we actually want. Chris, I know this is the part where you're going to assume the best about Niantic and question my line of thinking. So, Kyle, please back me up here with a good dose of cynicism unencumbered by a logical optimism. I hate to disappoint, but I'm also a little mad about this. Yeah. Although, usually a safe bet. So, good on you. At the end of the day, businesses are designed to make money. And despite what they tell us, they are going to make decisions based on profit as the highest priority. I have no problem with Niantic making money, and I'm guessing most people don't as well. I also have no problem with Niantic charging more for remote raid passes or limiting their use, although that's still frustrating. I will just simply choose to not buy them with the coins I've saved up because they aren't worth it anymore. My problem is that it feels like they are gaslighting us when they state things like, "We hope to further incentivize playing Pokemon Go in person with your friends, family, and community," when what they really mean is they need us to move around so they can sell our location data. It's really disingenuous to keep telling us how they care about us so much, but then it literally never listen to anything we have to say. I think Niantic is too stubborn to even realize this, and I would imagine that most people play Pokemon Go in spite of them, not because of them. Sorry for the long email. Long time, long emailer, Drew 2. Great sign off. Great sign off. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like we're kind of in agreement here. I mean, I don't think it's nearly as one dimensional about the location stuff as all that. I think both can be true. I think they can say to themselves, we're going to take a gamble and be hard nosed about it, and we're going to go all in on this thing that we think will add longevity to the game because it takes whales down a peg and takes, you know, maxing out Pokemon off the board for some people and some avenues we don't necessarily agree with, right? But also be like, plus it's great because then we get some idea about trends for location, right? I can see both of them being true. I don't think it's as simple as one problem, though.
Yeah, I agree. In the end, we'll never actually get to know, unfortunately,
yeah,
what Niantic's actual stances are on these kind of things. But there's no doubt in my mind they sell the location data that they gather through the app. Or they use it for themselves, which we know for a fact that they do for outside of Pokemon Go purposes. And I think that's one of the biggest driving factors, because it's really easy to forget. For people who maybe haven't been here as long, Niantic is not a game developer.
Yeah.
They are not a game developer. They are a tech developer that happens to have the best tech at the time that this kind of stuff was happening. And they are who the Pokemon Company and Nintendo and Creature Corp went with to develop a Pokemon game. They are still not that game company, despite having made Pokemon Go for six years.
Yeah, since 2016. Seven years in July.
So when you look at it from that perspective, it makes it a lot easier to see some decisions that are made from the very, very tip top. Doesn't make them okay, but you at least kind of can see where that is.
Counterpoint. If they're a tech company, why is their game break all the time?
Because it's not what they're trying to fix.
You're right.
Because they don't need the game to work, and they don't need Go Battle League to work except to get more people to play their game. So
yeah.
If it's not getting more people to play their game, it is considered a low value proposition for them. The biggest takeaway, especially from what Drew said, was they say they care, but they don't ever actually listen to the player base. The only time that I can think of that Niantic did something that the players asked for was keeping the distance change. There have been small things. We got the postcard book letting you save postcards from friends and stuff.
Squirtle with sunglasses came back?
Yes, it did. Yes. But like 4 years later.
I'm just saying, it's another example.
Yeah, but
it worked.
I can't think of one instance where they did something to make the game better because players have asked for it. They reworked Megas. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I will give you that. The rework for Megas is probably the best thing Niantic has ever done in terms of listening to their player base. Full credit.
And it's a good system. It's not even just like, oh, it's still bad, but it's better. No, it's a good system.
Yes. So full credit for that. I got one. I got two examples in 7 years of the game being out.
There we go.
If somebody can think of another one that's worth talking about, feel free. Let us know. We'll be happy to hear about it.
I do want to clarify one thing, though. The Niantic, and especially the community management team and the people that we get to interface with, right? They absolutely do listen. They hear all of these opinions, right? It's not that they don't listen. It's just those things don't make it to the game. And whether that is a C-suite decision, you know, made within the company, or a top John Hankey has a big veto stamp and he does that, it's not that they don't hear it. They just don't implement things. So, you know, I don't want people thinking that we're being, maybe we are being ignored, but
no, we are 100. No, that's the thing. Right. We are 100% being ignored.
Yes.
But we are not being not heard. I think there's, does that make sense?
I'm trying to avoid using the word heard because that's what we're using for the hashtag. They're not listening to us. We're just not being heard.
They're just not. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I've forgotten the thought that I was going to say. We were.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
My bad. Whole thing. Oh, no.
Location data.
If it comes back to me, it comes back to me. It was about them hearing us. So.
But Drew, thank you very much for the email. Appreciate it.
Next email is from Walter, and they said, "Hello, Chris and Kyle. I would like to mention something I did over the weekend. I have had a roughly 300 CP Articuno in my Pokemon storage, and I transferred it to home recently. I figured it would be better than just transferring it because I guess I would still have it. But now I'm having doubts. I've seen two Articuno from my 5 or 6 months and only caught this one. But you say it's super lucky. Should I have kept it?" Okay, so
it's got to be a Galarian, right?
Backing up. If it's not a Galarian Articuno, you are okay. Those will definitely come back into raids. Probably sooner than later. We haven't seen them in a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
If it is a Galarian one, it is very, very unlikely to find more, but you did find one. So this
two.
Yeah. So,
saw two, caught one. Right.
Yeah. But aside from collector value, the Galarian birds don't bring a large amount of value in Pokemon Go, except in a couple of select cups. Like right when they came out, the Zapdos was actually good.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate. To the rest of the email. Responding to your Pokepoll, I use Shadow Mewtwo for raids, and I have a Great League Shadow Machamp I use sometimes. I'm really disappointed by Niantic changing the price for remote raids from 100 to 195. Raiding is one of my favorite things in Pokemon Go, and as a free-to-play player, I'm going to have a hard time playing more. While I'm not going to quit, it will definitely put a dent in my playing. I will still listen to your wonderful podcast every week. I'm laughing while listening to this week's emails. And we need to band together under the banner of Kelvin and the unapologetic. No longer shall we apologize for giving you guys cats. Yeah,
it's true. It is true.
We have said this. It has taken a life of its own.
I gotta say, like, I literally have no idea where the sorry for the long email thing came from. No idea.
I'm sure somebody who did genuinely have a long email wrote it.
Oh,
and then one person said it as a spoof at the end of like a two sentence email.
Yeah.
And then that's it's a life.
And here we are.
Okay.
And here we are. I'm just happy Kit Kats are out of the Rolodex for now.
Oh, man. Someone's going to write in now next week.
Probably. Yeah. But thank you very much for the email. Appreciate it. Sorry to hear about your doubts around your Galarian Articuno, but maybe you'll see another one. You've already seen two. Possible. Yeah. This next email is from DopeDude858. Hey, it's me, DopeDude858 again. And I was wanting to thank you for explaining Megas last episode. I'm on the road to the Grand Canyon and just caught a shiny Drifblim with a CP of 1758. That's a big Drifblim. Woohoo, hefty. I was just wanting to say how awesome your podcast is and to say that you could do a poll that asks what team people are on. Thank you for the compliment. That's not a bad idea for the poll. I would probably supplement it with, and why did you choose that event? Or why did you choose that team? And have you ever changed teams and why?
Yeah, I'm interested in how many people change teams.
Exactly. That's always an interesting story. It's like, all of my siblings bullied me into doing it, or my wife stole my phone and now I'm Instinct. Like something like that. Always a good time. Yeah. Anyway, I won't apologize for the long email, but sorry for the long email. Perfect. P.S. There are a lot of beginners that listen, so you could do something for beginners. I don't know what, but you should do something for them. Bidding you a goodbye. Signed, Dope Dude 858. We've gotten an influx of people asking about beginner type tips recently. And Kyle and I have already talked about it. I think the most logical place is probably in Gear Up to kind of review things.
Yeah, he did absolutely. Megas. It was the inspiration for talking about Megas last week, and definitely has been a consideration for stuff and ideas moving forward.
Yeah, so that's a great idea. Thank you for the suggestion. It's so good. We're already incorporating it. So thanks. and appreciate the email. Thank you very much.
Our last email is from John, and they said, I emailed the show last weekend. You read my response in the podcast regarding a bug that resulted in my son and I catching Registeel again instead of Regice after completing the most recent Team Rocket, after defeating the most recent Team Rocket takeover research. Thank you for the feedback and suggestion to contact Niantic. Unfortunately, their seemingly canned response has been unhelpful and tone deaf.
Oh, no.
Unfortunate. Unfortunate fact. To verify, we completed the February takeover research and caught Registeel on February 2nd. On March 25th, we completed the March takeover and caught Registeel again after defeating Giovanni, all in the same time zone. The screenshots are in the attachment. They responded by telling me Registeel was available until 325. I then re-explained that I caught him on 325, so based on their response, it should not have been him. Their next response suggested they couldn't help me because I waited too long to reach out to them and to alert them sooner next time I have an issue.
That doesn't make sense to me.
What?
That doesn't make sense to me. This says
a week, maybe?
Yeah, right? That's pretty on top of it. The 25th
was 2 weeks ago, but well, it was 11 days ago. But okay, that's absurd. Isn't Regice still available for those who haven't completed the research yet? I'm just asking if they can provide another super rocket radar so we can battle Giovanni again, but they don't seem to want to help. Again, all this is detailed in the attachment. On a positive note, my son is up to 6 Lugias, a couple 3-stars, no shinies yet. He's moved on from the Regice injustice, but I can't let it go in part because of their response. I'm not sure if there's anything left to do, but I wanted to update you all in case you have any other suggestions. Thanks, John. That bit about waiting too long kind of bugs me.
It's just not a real thing.
Yeah, that is a very canned response pulled from the Rolodex of responses when they don't want to help.
Yeah, or don't have another suggestion. I don't know. It's just that's just not a thing. It's digital goods don't expire. It's not like the rocket radars they had to give out went moldy and they had to move their inventory or something like that. No, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. So, John, really sorry about that, and especially sorry for your kiddo, but very happy to hear about the army of Lugias, because Lugia is great and a couple of 3-stars is always a good thing. But thank you very, very much for, letting us know the conclusion of this story, or seemingly the conclusion. Who knows what will happen from here. And I hope that they circle back on that ticket. I'm sure you can appeal the ticket or something like that. I just don't know what else to say.
Yeah. I mean,
it's an unfortunate bug.
You could, the best step is to keep messaging them until you get a different response. Cause that is also a possibility that can happen. Unfortunately, yeah,
that does happen. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry, John. If we could do anything, we would. But yeah, that's a bummer. But anyway, I'm hoping that some conclusion comes your way that is favorable and not this you waited too long, because that's just bunk, in my opinion. Yep. Okay. So thank you very much for the email all the same. We love a conclusion to a story. And with that being said, dear listener, if you'd like to send us an email, just like these fine folks did, you can by sending it to mail at gocastpodcast gocast.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail to 262-586-7717. You can also visit our website for all things GoCast Podcast if you need some help with those credentials again. That's gocastpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at GoCast Podcast. Help support us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/GoCast Podcast. You can give pretty much any amount you'd like on a monthly basis and cancel any month, or get a discount for a year and pay a little bit less for 12 months. And this gets you access to like the Discord and all that good stuff. Speaking of patronage and patrons, shout out to our Elite Trainer tier patrons. Thank you so much to Bo, Daniel, Lori, Michael, Ozzy, Ted, Tish, Marvin, Amimi, Sportsuin, Ryan, Thayer, Jason, Justin, Charles, Monters, Lee, William, Brandon, Ethan, Steven, Nick, Kelvin, our favorite listener, Drew 2, Camo, and The Ugly Rock. Thank you so much for your patronage and for helping us keep the digital lights on. But if monetary support's not in the cards for you, or you've done it and you like to keep showing your support because you're a lovely human, you can leave us a review on anywhere that supports podcast reviews. Google Podcasts, we're coming for you in your sleep. You got to get those reviews going on. It's ridiculous. Absolutely unacceptable. But we're killing it on Spotify because you guys are fantastic. So thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Last thing to do here, Kyle, is to set some goals on our way out here. This weekend brings us Reggie Alecki Raids, and we have that new event with Cutie Fly and Ribombi this week as well.
Right.
Eggs and all that good stuff.
Ugh, eggs.
Ugh. So what are you looking to do?
Continue my mega progress, slowly but surely. In case it's not clear, by the way, a lot of these are free evolutions because I don't have large excess of mega energy. The ones that I have, I'm doing daily, but the ones that I don't, they're just waiting a couple of days to get the cheaper cost, gotcha, which is why it's now continuing for so long. 500K experience will put me at like 13 million out of 18 towards 47, I think. Yeah, 47. Continue my buddy progress, work on best buddying my Chandelure. And I have to make sure I get a Ribombi so I don't forget.
You do. Got to get that Ribombi. Nice. That's a good suite of goals like those. For me, I'd like to get to that 200 million experience, so it should be easier. It's like 1.5, 1.6 million away. It should be easier than last week, and I definitely missed the mark big time. So, hey. 50 eggs, because there's no reason for me not to. It's an egg event. This is made for me. One shiny. Could be anything. New, old, I don't care. One Reggie Alecki. At least one. Please. Please. And a buddy and mega progress. I'm putting them together because I normally do them both together when I remember to do it. So might as well be a shared goal. But that's it. Thanks so much for listening all the way through. Don't forget to listen to PvP Corner. They're great. And we'll see you next episode for episode 232. Good luck this weekend. Happy Easter to those who celebrate. And good luck in this brave new world of remote raid passes.
Oh, boy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.